Welcome to another message on Chatterfish Creek. We're going to talk about demons are alive and real. Demons and fallen angels really exist. So many people think that this people are bad because they want to be bad, which is somewhat true. But they don't think that there's any demonic influence. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in fallen angels. We're going to go through the Bible today, and there's quite a bit of information. I'm not going to cover one-tenth of the information of these demons and angels. But we're going to go to Isaiah 14 for a few minutes. And it talks about the fall of Satan. The fall of Satan. We're going to start with verse number 12. It said, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning." And that is Hallel in Hebrew, or Lucifer in Latin. "Son of the dawn, you have been cut down to earth, and you have weakened the nations." Now, this happened in eternity past. Now, in space and time, now since man has been on this earth, since the earth was reconstructed, since Adam was put in and as the in the second Eden and the throne room of the earth, and then he gave the title deed of the earth back over to Satan, the Lord has, in the process of winning it back. Satan is called the god of this age, little god of this age. Now, he's a very powerful supernatural being. But now, this is what he did. In Luke 10, 17 through 20, Jesus talks about it. He saw him fall from heaven. And he said, "You have been cut down to the earth, and you have been weakened the nations." Now, Lucifer was thrown out of heaven in the direct presence of God, and he weakened the nations. Now, he still has access to heaven today in a certain particular way to accuse us, as we're going to see later on. "But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God." Stars of God there are the angels of God. "And I will sit in the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north." Now, there's where you go up north of the earth, all the way up and go out into the third heaven. That is the throne of God, and that is heaven. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. And those who see you will gaze at you and will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble and shook the nations?'" We know in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, "Barashith, Barah, Elohim, Ethos, Shemayim, Weath, and Aharetz." It says, in one of the beginnings, he had created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, in verse number 2, it says, "We ha'aretz, hatiatuhu wabuhu, we hoshakeba epanei tahom." It says, "And the earth, she had become formless and void." God did not create anything in a process of creation. He created it instantly, and he created it perfect. Satan was perfect. Actually, Lucifer was perfect when he created him. And that's what we're going to see in Ezekiel 28th chapter also, as we go through Isaiah here. This big horsefly here is trying to read my Bible. Chase him around a little bit. He said, "All those gazing at you, they will ponder at you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdom, who made the world like a wilderness, overthrew its cities, its beautiful places, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All the kings and nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with slain and pierced with swords, go down the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse." Now, let's go to Ezekiel the 28th chapter. We've looked at that. We see Satan was once over all things, that he destroyed the heavens and the earth, that the corruption that we see here is all because of what he did. Now, in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, in verse number 12, it says, "Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith Jehovah Elohim," actually Jehovah Adonai here, Jehovah, the King of glory, the Lord of lords, "you had a seal of perfection." Satan was created, Lucifer was created in absolute perfection. There was not a flaw in him. The only thing he had in him was a volition, a free will to either follow or not to follow God. He had volition. God created all things with volition, as we're going to see. You had your seal of perfection, full of wisdom, beauty, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. There are two Edens. One in Eden past, and it was on this earth. That Eden is where Lucifer sat on his throne over all of the physical, material creation of God. And then the second Eden was that God created and reconstructed the earth and puts Adam in that creation. Every precious stone was your covering, ruby and topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper and lapis and lazuli, the turquoise and emerald and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared. You were anointed cherub. We find out there are different orders of seraphim, cherubim. The cherubim have wings. So evidently, Lucifer is in the order of angels that have wings. He's a cherub, says here, who covers. And I placed you there, and you were in the holy government of God. You were in the covenant of God. And you walked amidst the stones of fire, right in the very presence of the throne of God. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness, until pride was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were initially filled with violence, and you sinned, and therefore I cast you down as profane from the government, from the holy mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. We know that Lucifer is over the material reign of God, and this is him. He's over the material reign of God. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you down to the ground, put you before a king, that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. He was the leader of worship. Therefore I brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you. I have turned you into ashes on the earth, and all will see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you, and you have become terrified, and you will be no more. In the end, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. God created the lake of fire for Satan and his angels that followed him, one-third of them, and not only the angels that followed him, but the demonic forces, demons and angels, are not the same. Angels have form. Demons are unclothed, fallen spirits. Now, let's see some of the first works of Satan with Adam. And it says in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, Bereshit. Bereshit means beginnings. Now the serpent became. He wasn't was, but he became. This is the word Hayah. Here, the serpent, he became more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Jehovah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said that you shall eat from every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Now, Satan is quoting God's word. We find out later on that Satan and his fallen angels and his fallen spirits that are now called demons will inspire many false religions in the world. Many false religions. And they always use the word of God or some written scripture that they say is holy, like the Quran. They say it's the most holy book in the world, yet it's full of errors. And they say the Bible is corrupted. The corruption of the Bible is called the Quran. It quotes the stories of the Bible out of context. People are out of context. Everything is out of context in the Quran. Historically, scientifically, anthropologically, and archaeologically. And a woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Now, I've heard people say, well, God didn't tell him not to touch it. Yes, he did. It's God's. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's God's. That was off limits to humankind. This is one thing that's odds on this earth that they cannot touch or eat of it. And the serpent said to the woman, now, actually the serpent, Nahash, did not talk to the woman, did he? But we know that Satan's spirit entered that body of that serpent. And evidently he was a king of all beasts, and he walked upright also. But we find out later on that he's cursed, and he will not walk upright. Even in the millennial reign, he will not walk upright. He will be slithering on his belly because of the curse. He was a king of all the beasts, and he now loaned his body to the spirit of Satan. See, angels have spirits. Spirits are unclothed. Angels are clothed. Spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh, and they cause great havoc wherever they are. Ministering spirits minister to God's people and to the nations. Demon spirits lead them astray in uproar. The serpent said to the woman, Satan in the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like gods. Gods. Knowing good and evil. And we know that people today in different religions, Mormonism, Herbert Armstrong's, they believe that they're a god in embryo and they will be like God. They will be gods. A god, evolving gods. Many people in false religions believe they're going to become gods in some way or another, like God. And when the woman said, or saw, that the tree was good for fruit, for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, it was pretty, and she thought that it would be very good to eat. Women are always thinking about gathering and eating, aren't they? Women think about cooking, gathering, and eating. That's what their whole minds are. Women are very terrestrial. They make homes. They feed their families. And this is the idea of the first woman. That it was a delight to the eyes. They like pretty things, don't they? Women like pretty things. Women try to make their hair different colors than what God made it, so they can make it prettier than God made it. In most places, women would be looked better if they left it alone like God made it. But that's cosmetics for you. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And by the way, in the Hebrew language, it's in the imperfect tense, she kept on eating. She ate and she ate and she ate and she ate and she ate. She was right in the middle of a See's chocolate factory. And she's eating up this thing, just eating and eating and eating and eating. The first glutton in the Bible. It says, she took from its food and kept on eating, and then she kept on giving also to her husband, and he kept on eating. They kept on eating until the tree was gone. They ate it. I don't know, they pulled it up and ate the roots and all, but they kept on eating the tree until it was no more and it was not theirs to have. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they became naked. They became arum. They became wicked. They became thieves. They became liars. They became corrupt. They became vicious. They became murderers at that point when they ate the first piece of fruit. And they ate all of it. Sometimes the fruit of a tree is very good, but also the leaves are good. We know that. This is probably what was with this tree. They ate it all. And then they knew that they had become naked. They had become evil. And they sewed fig leaves together. And here we have the first man-made religion. They're going to cover themselves by their own efforts. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves breeches. Breeches to cover their private parts. And they heard the sound of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and a man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, among the trees of the garden. Now they have a conscience, and now they are guilty because they are evil. They have become evil. They have become liars. They have become corrupt. They have become that way. God didn't make them that way. They became that way just like Lucifer became that way. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the walk. And then the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? Now, we know that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. We know that he knew where Adam was, but that he wanted Adam to know where he was. Adam needed to know where he was now, since he had become Arum, evil. And he said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I became afraid because I had become naked. I had become evil, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were evil, naked, liar, a cheat, and a thief? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat it? Eat from her? And a man said, the woman whom you gave to me, it's your fault, God. This is the first problem of blame shifting. It's your fault, God. It's not mine. That woman that you made and gave to me, she gave me from the tree, and I kept on eating. Then Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I kept on eating. I kept on eating. I tasted it. It's like the taste of whiskey and alcohol and drugs. There are some drugs you can take one time, and from then on, it is a compulsion forever. You're hooked forever. That's what happened to these people. They got hooked until they ate it all. And the Lord God said to the Nahash, because you've done this, cursed you are more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall keep on walking, and in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put active hatred. Now in Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6, we see this in the New Testament, the fulfillment. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. He says here that Satan is going to have a son with a woman. Right here. He says that Satan is going to, he is going to procreate with a human woman, and he's going to have a son, and that son will become the Antichrist. Many people think many of the people that are born in this world, like Muhammad, was actually a son of Satan that was inspired by him to do the things that he did. That's one of the most vicious, powerful religions in the world today. I will put active hatred, enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed, your seed, the Antichrist, and all of those that follow later. We find in Genesis 6 and 1, we find the first Nephilim in the Bible, the cross between angels and humans, females. And we find the giants, we have Goliath, we have Og, we have all of his brothers in the Bible. We had five of them plus the father. And there's another six. We have six at least Nephilim named in the Bible. Hybrids. Many people believe that God caused the flood come on the earth to kill all of these, because from the book, from the source of the book of Enoch, that these Nephilim were eating animals when they weren't supposed to, that was not food for mankind yet. And they were even eating and drinking men's blood. They had become the first vampires. And said, I will put active enmity between you and the woman, between your seed, Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ, and he shall bruise you on the head, a death-dealing blow, and you shall bruise him to the heel. You shall deal a crippling blow. Jesus tasted death for us. To the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and the pain you shall bring forth your children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you not, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, because of you, because you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your nostrils you shall eat bread, till you return or go to or turn to dust, because from the same source you were taken, and to it you shall go. This little prophecy. We know this. Now he's going to die, and he's going to be buried in the ground. Now, what's wrong with gambling? Why is gambling wrong?
Ill-gotten gain.
It's an ill-gotten gain. It's what we call it is what we call gain without work. God desires that man should work and keep himself busy. Working is good for you. Busy hands is good. Busy in good. Working. Now, somebody can sit at a desk and work. Yes. And it works their minds. This is the type of work. They work on computers. They do all kinds of things like that. But it is tiresome. And they sweat. And they earn their money by the sweat of their nostrils. Mm-hmm. It runs down over their nose. Now let's go in the New Testament. Actually, let's don't go all the way to the New Testament yet. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but I'm going to tell you in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, we find that Jehovah is warning his people when they go into the land not to make offerings to demons. Demons are real, and people can worship demons, and people can be empowered by demons to do the things that they do. People can become very successful by demonic power. I have seen that in my life, and demons are real, and they worship demons, and people have been worshiping demons ever since the garden. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter and verse 7. Now let's go on into the New Testament, Matthew. Katamathion, the gospel according to Matthew. Now we find also, as we're going there in Samuel, we find that Saul, the Spirit of God kept working with him and kept and stopped leading him and stopped working with him. And then he sought the help of demon spirits when he went to the witch of Endor. And she got a surprise. God overruled her seance and sent Samuel back. And now Samuel had told Saul, "You will not ever see me again." Now Samuel did not see Saul, or Samuel. Saul did not see Samuel, but he heard him. Scared him to death because he was going to die. Let's go over into the New Testament. And as we're going that way, let's stop by the book of Job. Now, Job was a great man of God back in the olden days. Some people believe he was all the way back to the time of Noah, some in Abraham's time. And it says here, it tells all about how good Job was. And then down here we have Satan. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. These sons of God here, that really in the Old Testament always means angels. So Satan came there, Lucifer came there also, the adversary, the opposing one. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where are you come?" And Satan says, answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around about." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil." And Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Now we have the whole story of God allowing Satan to tempt and to try Job for our benefit today. He did that for our benefit today, so we can see how he does that to us today. In Peter, it tells us about that. Now let's go on into the New Testament. Over into the New Testament. Into the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, let's go back to 28. And when he had come to the other side, now they've been out in a boat, and they're going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's called Gadara. And when they had come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tomb. And they kept on being exceedingly violent that no one could pass by the road. Now, we see violent drug abusers today, don't we? They kill people like they're killing and swatting a fly. They have no, absolute no respect for human life. And behold, they cried out, these demons and this man, "What do we have to do with you, Son of God? You have come here, have you come here to torment us before our time?" Now there was a distance from them a herd of many swine. Now demons like to dwell in human or animal flesh. That's a fact. They're unclothed beings. They're spirits, but they like to dwell in human or animal flesh. Now let's see, and this is how I believe that so many people in false religion have been inspired to teach and do the things that they have done, because sometimes it's beyond human understanding how they invented all these things. They had to have quite an imagination, quite an inspiration, and we know Satan is quite an inspirer. Let's see what happens here. Now there was a distance there, there were a herd of pigs, swine, hogs, feeding. And the demon began, or kept on entreating him, saying, "If you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine." Now, we've been in this old boy for a long time, or these two boys, and there's at least 2,000 in one of them, 2,000 demons. And he said to them, "Be gone." And they came out and went into the swine. Behold, the whole herd rushed down the bank into the sea and perished in the waters, the Sea of Galilee. Now, we have to go back, and here we have a lot of Jews standing around there. Now, their idea of the Sea of Galilee was, that's the gateway, the bottom of the Sea of Galilee was a gateway of hell, Hades, Sheol. They're standing back there, and they're seeing Jesus cast these demons out of this man, or these men, and they go into these swine, and the swine have better sense than mankind does. I think that's why we're not supposed to eat swine, is because they're smarter than we are. These swine were smarter than this guy. They chose to die rather than be indwelt by these demons. And they all perish in the waters. Now, demons are territorial. They don't like to leave their territory. These demons had been hanging around Gadara for a long time. Now, how many of you have had things happen in your lives that were supernatural? And you knew that it was demonic. How many of you people have ever known people in your lives that have been so evil that they had to be demon-possessed? And they did, and they invented evil things to do. We've heard of haunted houses and poltergeists, and we heard of reincarnation and all of these things where people come back and are born again, and they say that I was Alexander the Great or Genghis Khan or Abraham Lincoln or somebody else. But they had a lot of information nobody could explain. Now, were demons around while all these people lived? Did demons forget? Did they get Alzheimer's? No. They don't. And a herdsman fled and went away to the city and reported everything, including the incident of the demonic, the demoniac. Now, by the way, the demoniac wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, "Don't. Go back to your family and evangelize them." And theirs were the churches of Decapolis came, the 10 cities of Decapolis. It was from this demoniac missionary. And behold, a whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw them, they begged him to depart from the region. They didn't want him around. He's going to cause financial crisis. They already lost the swine, the 2,000 swine. Now what else is going to do to them? Well, let's go on a little bit further. We know that demons are real. Demons are in the world today. If anybody communicates with the dead, so to speak, they're not communicating with the dead. They're communicating with demon spirit that knew the dead. Bringing in a little personal observation here. I live in a house near Old River, California, and that house is haunted, according to some people. My wife has seen her father walk through the house, through the kitchen door, and down the hallway to his bedroom. I have heard steps in there many, many times, the kitchen door opening and going down to the bedroom. I always thought it was Marilyn. I go looking for her, and nobody's there. My daughter saw a materialization of a very evil thing. She is very afraid of it, very afraid to even be in that house without me being there. My wife heard steps not long ago going through the house, just like I've heard 1,000 times. But a member of her family was very demonic, and she died in that house. Demons are territorial. They don't want to leave. Many times I prayed for God to stop this poltergeist, this demonic activity, and he has. But they're pretty persistent. They keep coming back. Sometimes for years I don't see them, but then here I hear the footsteps again. I hear the doors open and shut, and nobody's there. God is more powerful than all these fallen spirits, I want to tell you. Now, if you see something materialize, that is not a demon, is it? We know that angels can go from dimension to dimension, and they can materialize in many times in the form of man, but sometimes in the form of wickedness of all sorts. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, we find that the disciples have power over demons. Jesus not only had authority, but he had authority to give people authority, because Jesus is God, and he gave people authority to cast out these demons. And these people were his disciples in the 10th chapter. And in the 12th chapter, sometimes demons can cause illnesses. They can cause mental illness. Much mental illness is actually not mental illness. We classify it today as mental illness, but it's demonic activity. Demons cause havoc. Demons will lead people to drug activity, alcoholism, adultery, and fornication. Demons do that. Against all the laws of God and nature. Now, in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, it says, "Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb, in other words, not able to speak, he spoke. And he was also blind, but now he saw. He opened his eyes and opened his mouth. And all the multitudes were amazing and began to say, 'This cannot be the son of David, can he? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one? Is this the king of Israel?' But then the Pharisees, with all the evidence that they had, they began to oppose him." Oh, he says, they said, "This man cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I am the King of the Jews. Yes, I am the Son of David that was to come." He said, "How can anyone enter to a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" Jesus came down and bound Satan. He began to cut into his forces. He began to call out his church. That would be a great deterrent to crime in the land for nearly 2,000 years. "Unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit of God shall not be forgiven." Let's go on a little bit further. Matthew 25, 5th chapter and verse 41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and angels, not for men, but for the devil and his angels. In Mark the 3rd chapter and verse 11, it says, "Whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, they would fall down and cry out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" Demons recognize Jesus, but false religion too. You know what the shirk, the worst crime that you can commit, the worst sin you commit according to Islam, is to say Jesus is the Son of God. They say in their confession of faith, there is no God but Allah, and He has no companion, no Jesus, no Son, and Muhammad is His prophet. And He warned them not to reveal His identity, and He went up into the mountain and summoned those who had Himself wanted, and they came to Him. And He appointed 12 that they might be with Him, and He might send them out to preach and to cast out demons, to have power over demons. Mark the 19th chapter. They came back and they said, how can this person be? We couldn't cast demons out. And He said, some things only you can do by prayer and fasting. But He had the power over them. Mark the 9th chapter and verse 38, they saw someone casting out demons in Jesus' name. And He said, whoever's with me cannot be against me. Now, He had given power to somebody else they didn't know. Another little group running around that have power that He had given to that they didn't know. And Luke, the 8th chapter, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke, the 8th chapter. We're going to run into a woman. A good woman in the Bible, but she had been a bad woman. Mary Magdalene. Luke 8 and verse 2. Now, actually, go back to verse 1. It came about soon afterwards that He began going from city to city, from village to village, and proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God had come to them because the king had come to them. And the 12 were with Him, the 12 apostles, and that is the church, the ones called out. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Now, she was a fancy courtesan. A courtesan, the Japanese have them, they're geisha girls. There were many Jewish courtesans in Europe later on, we find out. And they would romance. They were prostitutes. They would romance kings. They would romance kings. Even in America, one of the most famous actresses was one of these Jewish courtesans. You remember her name? Think of that one for a while. That Jewish courtesan that became a very famous actor on American stages. She had a child by a European prince. She had other sisters that were courtesans also. They had gone into different nations and romanced kings, and they were educated. They were great musicians, and that's what happened. And Mary Magdalene was one of those very educated women in political science and in music and in history. And the rich men would desire her, and they gave her big prizes too. She had a lot of money. And also some women who had evil spirits and sickness. Mary, who was called Magdalene, who had 7 demons, had gone out of her. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others contributing to their support out of their private means. This woman was rich. Mary Magdalene was rich, and she's supporting Jesus now. Let's go on a little bit further. Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 14. And He was casting out a demon, and it was done. And it came out about when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes were marveled. We find out that demons will cause men to endanger themselves and hurt themselves and injure themselves. There was a boy that had demons that cast himself into fires. We had the demons there at the Gadarenes that had cut themselves and gashed themselves with stones. They were the kings of the graveyard, the princes of the graveyard. No one could come in there against them. They were so strong. We find so many people, when they're on drugs and demonic, that the cops can hardly stop them. I saw a video of a man that shot a man 16 times with a Colt 45 before he finally bled out and fell dead. He wasn't on drugs or anything. He was just mean, demonically possessed. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 20, it says that the Gentiles worship demons. Demons require worship like Satan requires worship. And if Satan can get somebody to worship a demon or himself rather than God, he is very happy. In James, the second chapter, it says, let's go to James, the second chapter. James chapter 2. In verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder at the Son of God and at the preaching of the gospel. Demons and fallen angels don't like the preaching of the gospel. They like to pervert the gospel. In Peter's letters, his circular letters, his general epistles, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, beware of the devil and resist the devil. He's walking like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's real. Demons are real. We have the Word of God. In the book of Ephesians, it says, put on the whole Word of God, the whole armor of God, whereby you may resist that evil one. The helmet of salvation, number one. The breastplate. The shield.
The armor.
The armor of God. In 2 Peter 2 and 4, it says that the angels that sin, God cast out of heaven and put them down, especially from the Michael's group. Many of them have been in chains and in darkness, skodosophon, deep, thick darkness, ever since they sinned because they're so dangerous. Prisons today are designed to keep people safe from those that are bad. The Bible actually demands that a government, to be a legitimate government, that it should execute its murderers. That is the deterrent to crime. America today is not doing that. Crime is rampant. False religion is rampant in our lands. False religion is rampant because of demonic forces. Drug addictions, prostitution, all of these things are very powerful forces in our land because of demonic forces. Demons are real. Fallen angels are real. We have to resist them every day in all of our walks of life. But we have the armor of God. We have the Word of God. And we have the Spirit of God in us. It doesn't mean that He won't try us. Does Satan try you? Every time you get mad without a cause, every time you do something evil, Satan is using you. Every time. He's using me when I do things that I should not go do. He's there. He's always looking for a child of God in a way that you might not glorify God. Give your life to Him. And remember, when you do something wrong, it is that bad influence of Satan and the real demonic forces that are leading you astray. And put on the armor of God. And ask the Lord to forgive you and help you walk. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the demonic forces. Father, we come to you. We put this sermon out here in the world. We preach it on this beautiful creek. Father, I give it to you. I give it to those out in the world that someone may be saved. Because demons are real. If someone is out there right now wondering whether they should come to you or not, because they have a volition and they're rejecting you right now, it's demonic forces. Father, convict them of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. Forgive us for your failure. Help us to follow you always. Forgive us. Help those that are out there that are saved follow you and serve you in churches that you called out and not those that the world called out. The demonic forces inspiring men to lead people astray. In Jesus' name I pray. For thy sake I ask it for your honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.